Father John has just finished a series on prayer, and I want to kind of continue that theme this morning and talk about how we can be more effective and more powerful, especially when we're praying for other people. It's a privilege to teach here. It's a privilege to celebrate here. Debbie and I have been in some churches where everybody kind of took the attitude of let somebody else do the work. I just want to sit back and relax. Y'all aren't like that. Y'all are willing to jump in and to work and to serve and to do things, and I appreciate that. I like that. And what I want to do this morning is kind of give you a teaching about how to serve in a way maybe you're not used to or with a little bit more power, and that's in serving in prayer, serving when you pray for other people. We're going to talk some about giftings. We're going to talk some about talents. And I hope to give you a different perspective this morning on talents and giftings. And I especially want to introduce to you this concept of spiritual gifts and help you learn how to either operate in spiritual gifts or operate more in spiritual gifts. Let's talk first about the concept of just talents and gifts. Okay, let me kind of define some things for you. You've probably heard lots of teachings on talents and gifts. You've probably been through sessions, done workbooks and home groups and things like that. What's your gifting? What's your talent? I want to make sure we set the terms this morning so you'll know what I'm talking about and we won't be confused. I believe there are essentially three kinds of giftings. One is natural giftings, the things that we were born with, those natural talents that we have when we're born. The other is learned gifts, the talents, the gifts, the abilities that we have because we've learned, because we've been educated, because we've gone through life, whatever it is, we've learned somehow. But the third category of gifts is different from the other two, and I'm going to call it spiritual gifts. And these are gifts that come entirely from and through the Holy Spirit. They work through us, but they don't come from any ability that we have, okay? Learned gifts and talents and natural talents and gifts. Let me give you some illustrations. I came from a family of three boys. One of my brothers, Dave, is a natural athlete. I mean, whatever sport he takes on, he does it, and he does it well. I don't mean just good. I mean, he's a scratch golfer. He's the MVP, all-star kind of player at whatever he plays. My brother Paul and I, not so much natural athletes, but Paul is a natural musician. Matter of fact, he has perfect pitch, Thomas. You can say, give me an E-flat, and he'd go, and, you know, that would be it. He has this amazing understanding and ability with music, but he didn't just leave it at those natural gifts. He also went to school, got some education, took music lessons for years. He spent a year at ORU, for instance, doing nothing but music. So he's taken those natural gifts, expanded them a lot with training, and so now you would call those some learned gifts. Both of my brothers went to medical school to learn to become surgeons. Now, I don't know how much they had in the way of natural giftings to be a doctor to start with, but whatever they would have had was probably overwhelmed by the training anyway. I mean, you know, it's years and years and years and years of intensive training. Now they have this great talent, this great ability to be surgeons. Well, that's a learned talent or a learned gift. Turn to Romans 12 with me this morning. We're going to look at some scriptures. In Romans 12, Paul talks some about spiritual gifts, but he also talks about some natural gifts, some learned gifts. Romans 12, 4 through 8, he says, "For just as we are many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." He's taking this concept of we all have to kind of work together, we all have different giftings, we all have different talents, but it's all for the same common good. And then he goes on to say, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives," that's a gifting or a talent, "gives liberally. The one who leads, let him do it with diligence. The one who shows mercy, let him do it with cheerfulness." He's talking here about lots of natural gifts, learned gifts. Like, for instance, talking of teachers, how many of you have had, you can remember, a great teacher that you had in your life? And then how about all the awful ones that you had, right? You can remember those too, right? I believe, personally, that teaching requires a natural gifting in that area to be a good teacher. Yes, you should go to school, you should learn, but if you don't have that natural ability, you're probably not ever going to do very well. I feel sorry for the poor souls that have gotten their bachelor's degree, their master's degree, they set off to teach, and they're all, I mean, they can't teach their way out of a wet paper bag.
They just don't have it inside of them to do that. It's important. The natural talents we have, the learned talents, those are important. Those gifts are important. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, Peter's talking about some of these and how it's important to use our gifts for the glory of God. That we should want to exercise our talents for God, for the church. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, he says, as each one has received a special gift, he's talking about gifts that we have, natural and learned talents, employ it in serving one another as good servants, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Think about the people that you know who have had this natural gift or talent of serving. He talks about this here. That's one of the gifts. I mean, they're just born that way, it seems. They're able to serve. They're always there to help. They never call attention to themselves or to their serving, but they're always there. They're always serving. There are a lot of folks that I know, especially deacons in churches, that they not only have a natural call to serve, but they have learned more about how to do that and how to do that well. They're a great blessing to the kingdom of God, to the church of God. I can think of at least one person here or two that have that kind of serving gift. But I want to shift gears now and go to this subject of spiritual gifts. And I want to make a very clean break, because I want you to understand that when I'm talking about spiritual gifts, it has absolutely nothing to do with natural gifts or talents or learned abilities or anything like that. Okay, turn to Hebrews 2. And that's going to be the subject of the rest of our lesson today, is talking about these spiritual gifts. Hebrews 2, in verse 4, he makes an interesting comment here. He's talking about disciples, apostles, people working in the kingdom, and he said, God also, bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. We're talking here about spiritual gifts. Sometimes they're called charismata. It's where we get the term charismatic from. The gifts he's talking about are gifts of the Holy Spirit. They belong to the Holy Spirit, and they're used at the behest of the Holy Spirit. These are not gifts that belong to people or that are used by people, right? Another example of describing it this way, being, in other words, God bearing witness by gifts and wonders and miracles, turn to Mark 16, the very last verse in Mark 16:20. And they went out, and they preached everywhere, talking about the disciples. This is after Jesus ascended to the Father. And it says, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by miracles that followed. So as they were going about their business, miracles were happening around them. If you look back just a couple of verses, starting in verse 17 there of Mark 16, you kind of have to ask the question, so miracles, what kind of miracles were they doing? What kind of miracles did Jesus expect us to do? Did he expect us to do any miracles? Or just, is that just for special people? Was that just the apostles that he expected this stuff from? Look at Mark 16, verse 17. This is some of the last words that Jesus speaks on earth before he ascends to the Father. And he says, and these signs will accompany those who have believed. Okay, so who's he talking about? Those who have believed. Who's that? Is that preachers, pastors, folks that have gone to seminary? It's every believer, right? You could say, Jesus is saying, I expect these signs to follow my followers, the Christians, as they will be called. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Going down in verse 18, they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. And hopefully you're going to get a chance to operate in some of those gifts today. Now, let's define spiritual gifts, okay? A spiritual gift is something that comes entirely from God through the Holy Spirit to accomplish what no human could ever accomplish on their own or in the natural. Spiritual gifts come entirely from God through the Holy Spirit to accomplish what no human could ever accomplish in the natural. We, our efforts, our talents, our abilities have absolutely nothing to do with spiritual gifts. We are simply the vessels through which these gifts operate. Characteristics of spiritual gifts include the fact that they are short-term, they are highly focused. In other words, they're there for a purpose, to accomplish something. When that purpose is accomplished, the spiritual gifts leave for a while. They are temporary in that aspect, but they are always available to us as needed when the Holy Spirit needs to use and work with us. So spiritual gifts, remember, they're not part of what we learn. They're not. It's not a natural ability we have. It's something that just comes from being yielded to the Holy Spirit. Let's look at some of these. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to look at a spot where Paul talks about some spiritual gifts. Now, he lists 9 gifts here, 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7. But I think there are more than just these 9 spiritual gifts. As a matter of fact, I'm certain that when Spence wrote that song that we just sang, that you were under the influence of a spiritual gift. That song that really came from the Holy Spirit, even though I'm sure you have lots of natural abilities and learned abilities, that came from the Holy Spirit directly through you in order to bless us, to bring us into a place of great worship. So there are other gifts, but let's just kind of look at these now. This is an introduction to spiritual gifts. We're not going to try to cover the whole subject in depth this morning, right? So let's read this, and then I want to ask you, what do you see from a high level, just reading this real quick? But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting or working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing or discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So from a high level, what are some of the kinds of things we might take away from this? What do you see? Well, one of the things that I see is these gifts he's talking about come from the Holy Spirit, not from us. These gifts are given to, they work through believers, us. But it appears to me from reading this that they are controlled not by the believer, but they're controlled by the Holy Spirit. It says, as he wills. And it also appears from this that they are for the common good. They're for our benefit. Let's look at some of these gifts. I want to give you some examples of what Paul's talking about here. And I'll do it by telling you some contemporaneous stories of spiritual gifts in operation so you can kind of get an idea of what we're talking about here. A couple of weeks ago at home group, a guy was there. He had a friend, and they had just had a baby, and the baby was born listless. In other words, it wasn't moving around like babies normally do, and they were very concerned. And so they called this fella, asked for prayer. He asked us to pray. We all prayed together. And when we finished praying, the gift of word of knowledge, one of these gifts that Paul's talking about here in verse 8, he talks about word of knowledge. Well, that gift operated through me. And I told this fellow who had brought the request, I said, you need to call this woman tonight. Tell her that the Lord says that this condition with her baby is temporary and that her baby is going to be all right and she should not be afraid. And he said, okay, I'll do that. The next day, later in the day, he got another call from this family. Baby had snapped out of it. The baby is okay. The baby's going to be all right. Well, how did I know that? I didn't know that. I had no way of knowing that that was going to be the temporary. That came entirely through the Holy Spirit. It was a temporary thing just to let that person know, hey, be in faith, don't be in fear. Now, a gift of knowledge can actually be pretty mundane too. And I want to tell you this story because I want you to understand that we should be looking for every opportunity to let all the spiritual gifts function in our lives. Last week, I was sitting at my desk down in the basement, down in the bat cave doing my normal work. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, you need to take the trash out. Get the trash out for the trash people. And I looked at my watch, and it's only about 10 o'clock. The trash people never come before noon. There's no sense in taking the trash up now. But the Holy Spirit's kind of persistent about that. This is this word of knowledge thing. You need to take the trash up now. And so, okay, well, I need the exercise, I guess. I'll do that. I took the trash up, trundled up to the top of the hill at our house. And as I was coming back, I got about halfway down the hill, and hear the trash truck coming down the road, and he's picking up the trash. And you know, my first thought was, woohoo, Lord, I want the whole day to be just like this. I want to hear from you on everything today, all of it. I'm telling you, the Lord cares about our trash. The Lord cares about every aspect of our lives, and he wants to use us. He wants to operate through us with spiritual gifts to improve, to enhance, to help every aspect of our life. God wants to operate in these spiritual gifts through you way more than he does now. I don't care how much he's doing it, but you just have to be open to it. We have to be looking. We have to be ready. I'll tell you a story about two of these gifts in operation at the same time. You see down in verse 9, it talks about gifts of healings. couple of weeks ago in service here at St. Thomas, Debbie said she felt her hands starting to get warm. Well, oftentimes that's an indication of the Holy Spirit is there to heal. And she thought, well, that's good. I wonder what the Lord's going to do with that. Well, about that time, Father John, through a word of knowledge, tells Debbie, Lord wants you to pray for somebody. And she goes, woohoo, good. That's a release. That's the release I wanted. And she prayed for a lady that had a lot of pain in one of her shoulders. She couldn't move her arm because of that pain. Debbie prayed for her. Lord, heal that lady right then, right there. And she was moving her arm, and I mean, she was excited because God had touched her. That was two gifts, spiritual gifts, working together. Father John had no way to know in the natural what was going on with Debbie. And do you think Debbie has the ability to heal shoulders? You know, this is the Holy Spirit at work. Now, I know that most of you operate in gifts of the Holy Spirit, at least some spiritual gifts. And the message today is designed to do two things, okay? If you've never moved in these gifts before, the goal of this teaching is to get you to open yourself up to it and let the Lord begin to work through you, maybe even for the first time today. That would be great. The second goal of this teaching is for those of you who have moved in spiritual gifts, you do move in spiritual gifts, at least some. The Holy Spirit wants you to be available more. He wants you to be available more often. He wants you to move in those gifts like you've never moved before. And you're going to get a chance in a few minutes to let the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate through you. We're going to pray for each other in a special way. Let me tell you a couple more stories. Down in verse 10, there is one called discerning of spirits, distinguishing of spirits. It's really a gift that's about the Holy Spirit letting us know what spirits are operating, good or evil, and if it's an evil spirit, what to do about it. And actually, this story has two gifts in it, too. A lady was having trouble with recurring infections. She'd get an infection, she'd go to the doctor, doctor'd do the test, yes, you have an infection, give her antibiotics, she'd take the antibiotics, infection would go away, everything would be fine, until about a month later, she'd get the infection again. Go to the doctor, do the test. Yes, you have an infection. Here's the antibiotics. Take the antibiotics. Everything healed and everything's okay. That went on for months. Went on for over a year. Almost every month, this recurring infection. Well, we started praying with her about this and said, Lord, this is just not right. You need to heal her. And so the gift of healing was in operation, and the Lord healed her, touched her, and she didn't get any more infections. For several months, after several months, all of a sudden, she felt like she was getting this infection again. She goes to the doctor does the test, the doctor says, whoa, hold it just a minute. I don't see any infection here. I don't know what's wrong with you, but you don't have an infection. Well, at that point, as we prayed over this puzzling situation, this other gift, this gift of discerning of spirits, came into play, and the Holy Spirit said, what you have is an evil symptom. You have a symptom from an evil spirit, a lying symptom from an evil spirit. You don't really have an infection. The devil's just trying to get you to take this sickness back with this lying infection. Well, when we knew that it was an evil spirit then, through the name of Jesus, we commanded him to leave, made him go, and he did. And she never, ever had that infection again. Wonderful to be able to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit because, for sure, I ain't smart enough, well-educated enough. Now, I want to close with stories of a gift that I think you can easily expect to see in your own life. Actually, it's maybe two gifts, either a word of knowledge or this gift in verse 10 there where he talks about working of miracles. Either one of these gifts can be in operation when you lose something, okay? Debbie and I have done this lots of times. We lose something, we pray, and the Lord either tells us where it is or he brings it to us, gift of miracles. I wish Beth and Ryan were here this morning. They've seen this happen in our house a lot. This happened the other day to Debbie. She was sitting in a chair at a desk there at the house, and one of her contact lenses popped out. She said, I could hear it hit the desk and then hit the floor. And you know what that's like? Contact, uh-oh, contact, everybody be still. So she starts looking for the contact, and she looked all over that room and couldn't find the contact. And she said, no, that's just weird, Lord. Either you need to show me where that contact is, or you need to bring it to me. As she's praying that prayer, she's sitting on the bed in that room, and as she opens her eyes, she sees a glint off the back of that chair that she'd been sitting in. You know how chairs have little slats? Some chairs have slats across the back. One of those slats had a glint on it. She goes over to that chair, and that contact lens is precariously balanced on the top of one of those slats. Now, it could have never gotten there to start with, okay, because that was behind her when she lost her contact. But it would have never stayed there with all the moving of the chair and moving looking for the contact. Through working of miracles, the Lord had brought that contact to her. Listen, we've seen this happen a lot of times. I remember one time it happened in an airport in Kenya. We're standing in line for immigration. There's a lady, English-speaking lady, standing in front of us. She's a nurse, and she was coming for something. So we start to get our passports out so we can go through immigration, and she starts looking through her stuff, and she can't find her passport. And, I mean, she takes everything out of the bag she has. She is looking. She's frantic. I can't find my passport. And she realizes, oh, I left it in the coffee shop in the airport at Amsterdam, the last stop. And she goes, oh, man, what am I going to do? So I said, well, let's just pray that either the Lord will help you find it or he'll send an angel to bring it to you, working miracles. And so Debbie and I take her hands, and she's going, yeah, sure, right. Here I am. I've lost my passport, and you're going to pray for an angel to bring it to me, right, from Amsterdam. But we prayed for her. Very short prayer. And then I said, okay, why don't you look in your bags again? And she looked at me like, I've looked in the bags several times. She unzipped the top of her carry-on, and it's sitting right there on the top. And, I mean, her eyes get about this big, and she starts, woo-hoo-hoo, wow! I mean, you talk about somebody got excited. Now, to her, that was unusual. We've seen this happen a lot. Just like the miracle that we read about in the gospel reading this morning of the loaves and the fishes. We've seen God multiply food several times. That God does this. This is working of miracles. God does this. He wants to do this with us. Sometimes when you lose something, though, you just need to know where it is. We lost a tool the other day. It was actually at night and couldn't find it. Didn't know where it was. Look it all over the house. Can't find it. Finally say, just go to bed. We'll look in the morning. We prayed, Lord, show us where it is or bring it to us, you know, standard prayer. When I woke up the next morning, the very first thought I had was a word of knowledge from the Lord. The Lord said, it's in the kitchen trash can. And I knew what he was talking about. And sure enough, go downstairs. And there it is. It's in the kitchen. Somebody had thrown it away. I mean, you'd never think you'd even accidentally throw that away. Now, what's interesting to me about this is the Holy Spirit was probably trying to operate the gift of word of knowledge through us the night before. We were just too tired to hear, too tired to listen. And so I challenge you to do this with your kids. When you lose something there in the house, bring the kids around and say, let's pray that the Lord will either show us where it is or he'll send an angel and bring it to us. And you'll be surprised. I'm telling you, we've watched this happen dozens of times. Lord will do this. It's great to let those spiritual gifts operate and let the kids participate in that. Sometimes Lord participates by operating through the kids themselves. But if nothing else, they need to watch this. They need to see God in action. So that's your challenge. Well, let's wrap things up this morning. So the Holy Spirit wants to operate through you with his spiritual gifts. I'm sure he wants to operate through many of us this morning right here. This is what we're going to do. We're going to do something a little special when it comes time for communion. You're going to have a chance to pray for somebody else here. You know, we normally form a line to receive Holy Communion. Well, today when we do that, when you form that line, do it prayerfully. Look for someone that the Lord might want you to pray for and then get in line next to them or behind them. Okay? Let me give you some hints how you might know who the Lord might want you to pray for this morning. Okay? For example, if you look at somebody, like especially as we're praying the Lord's Prayer or something, you look at somebody and you feel compassion for them or you feel sorry for them, that's almost certainly the Holy Spirit saying, I want to do something for that person and I want to do it through you. Even if you don't have a clue what to pray for them, you don't need to know yet. The Holy Spirit will let you know that when it comes time to pray for them. Or maybe you look at somebody and you just feel like you wish you could help them. That's probably the Holy Spirit drawing you to that person. Or maybe you look at somebody and all of a sudden you think of something. A picture comes to mind, a word comes to mind, something that might be helpful for them. The Lord, ask the Lord, say, hey, I want you to give this to that person. Pray over them. So as you get in line and get next to them, ask them if it's okay to pray for them. And like I said, you may or may not know what to pray for. You just know you need to pray for them. You may ask them, what would you like Jesus to do for you today? Or you may not ask him anything. Sometimes that's as much fun as anything else. It's just praying and seeing what the Lord will do. I remember one time Debbie and I almost got in trouble at a church in Louisiana. We were down there ministering and we had been brought to this church. We didn't know anything about the church. We didn't know any of the people at the church. But we started praying for folks. And the next day the pastor got calls from several folks. Why was he telling us, Debbie and I, about all their problems? Well, the pastor hadn't told us a thing, see. But the Holy Spirit was concerned about them. He wanted to help them. He wanted to minister them in a special way. And so he revealed that stuff. So it's okay to ask, how can I pray for you? Now, if you don't have any experience praying for other people, don't worry about it. You're not supposed to pray some long, eloquent prayer, okay? You're just supposed to be obedient as to what you think the Holy Spirit wants to do. Pray that, whatever it is, even like I said, if it's just one or two words. So what happens after you pray for somebody? Let somebody pray for you then, okay? So that we all get a chance to pray for each other. And let's be patient this morning and let the Lord do whatever it is he wants. What if you don't feel anything when you pray for the person? You pray for them and it just seems like nothing happens. There's a fellow that we have been mentoring about healing for the last few months. And the other day we were at a meeting and encouraged him to pray for someone's healing. And afterwards he kind of complained, well, I prayed for her feet, but I didn't feel anything, so I guess nothing happened. Well, the next day he gets a call from this lady whose feet he had prayed for. And she said, man, when you prayed for me, I just felt this warmth in my feet, and my feet are well. I don't have any pain at all now. And he was going, well, I'm glad she felt something, because, boy, I didn't. And I was explaining to him, that's okay. It's not about you and what you feel, you know. It's about what God does. And sometimes God moves through us, and we don't even feel it. What if you think you made a mistake, and you prayed for the wrong person, or you prayed the wrong prayer over them, or something like that? Don't worry about it. They probably needed whatever you prayed for them, whether it was obvious or not, okay? This is a safe place where we can make mistakes, where we can move out and say, I'm going to try this and see if I'm really hearing from the Lord, and then back up and say, I guess I didn't. That's okay. The Lord's not going to get mad at us. Maybe you're not sure who the Lord wants you to pray for. That's okay. Just get in line and pray for whoever's in line in front of you, okay? Just trust the Lord to work that out. Lay your hands on their back and pray for them quietly. That's okay. Remember, it's not you that's doing anything anyway. See, that's one of the liberating things about allowing spiritual gifts to flow through us. I don't have to be anything special. I don't have to be smart. I don't have to be good. I don't have to be doctrinally correct. I just have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and let him do all the stuff, you know? We're going to do this with the kids, too. We're going to let them pray. We're going to explain to them that we're praying for folks, and we'll let them pray for each other or for us. You'd be surprised how many times God works through kids to work miracles. They can be just so uncomplicated sometimes. It's easy for them to just give up control to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do whatever he wants to. And it's easy for them to say, well, God loves you and God wants you well. I pray that God heal you. And God does. You know, there's simple faith. Okay, got the plan? So we're going to pray for each other. In the meantime, let's just stay in an attitude of worship, begin to believe and ask the Lord to work through us today. Let's open ourselves up to the leading of the Holy Spirit, be ready to yield completely to him. And I think we're going to see some cool supernatural things happen here today at our hands.